frustrated, he'll sign with the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers. This is SRN News.
10 windows for your home for only $54 per month. Empire Window Company, 1-800-EMPIRE-7, or go to www.empirewindowcompany.com.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Hi, good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ. And this is not Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio today. Pastor Lutz at the last minute called me to substitute for him today. He had some other obligations that came up. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And it's good to be with you here today. Glad to have the opportunity to fill in for Pastor Lutz, and certainly encourage you if you're out on the west side of Cleveland, out toward Lakewood or Rocky River and all that area out there, and you're looking for a good church home, I would wholeheartedly recommend that you check out the North Coast Baptist Church there in Lakewood, Ohio. It's on Quail Street, and I don't know the whole address myself, but you can find them pretty easily, and I just certainly encourage you to visit them. And if you're on the south side, south or down toward Akron or midway between Akron and Cleveland, let me invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, which is located at 5171 Brecksville Road, which is right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross in northern Summit County. We'd love to have you visit. And also, if my voice sounds familiar, if you've not placing me just yet, I'm also the host of Live with Pastor Al that comes on at 1:30 right here on AM 1220 The Word. And so I'll be with you here until 1:30 for this program For the Cause of Christ. And then stick with us. You can join in the conversation with Live with Pastor Al from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And you can even give us a call at that time. I'll go ahead and give out those phone numbers right now, and that way you can write them down as you get down toward the half past the hour. If you want to give us a call for that program, you can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. The local number is 216-901-0933. And we'll probably during that half hour be talking about some of the things happening in the Middle East and elsewhere, or any calls, questions that people might have, questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. But wanted to open with some things here today, and let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and I'll get right into a subject that I think might be of interest. Heavenly Father, Lord, do pray that you bless our time today. Bless the program. Thank you for the opportunity to be on for Pastor Lutz here this afternoon, and I just pray that you just bless you. The program for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, and as we get into the program here today, the question about the Bible has come up many times, and I help out with another program on Thursdays, Where is God's Word, with Bruce Musselman. If you've ever listened to that program, he talks about the Bible, and he likes to talk about the defense of the King James Version of the Bible. But yesterday we touched on something which got me to thinking, and I did a little looking into it and some things that I remember being asked myself. And the question is, isn't the King James Bible too hard to understand? It's got these archaic words in it, difficult words and things of that nature, and it's hard to understand. And I've heard this question, or actually this criticism or this objection, I guess I could say, to using the King James Version of the Bible, because it's hard to understand. And, anything that's worth looking into, that's worth learning, is going to have some degree of difficulty. When I left high school, I went out to Colorado State University, and I began studying wildlife biology, and I ended up graduating with a degree in wildlife biology with a minor in botany. And let me tell you, there were some things that were hard to understand, but I had a desire to understand biology, understand ecology, understand the interrelationship between plants and animals. I had a desire to understand how forest ecosystems developed and different things of that nature. And so I was willing to invest the time and the effort to be able to learn some of the jargon, some of the hard to understand words. Let me give you an example. If when I come up here to the studio, sometimes when I park in the parking lot, I can look out. There's a little ravine sort of area with a little pond and a little stream and some brush and things going up into the woods across from the parking lot. And oftentimes, I'll sit there gazing out the window of my car at the quadruped ungulates browsing on the forbs across the way. Now, does anybody have any idea what I just said? I'm gazing at the quadruped ungulates browsing on the forbs across the way. And all I'm saying is I'm watching the deer browsing on some of the shrubs and things over on the other side of the hill. And because I took the time to understand those words and those phrases when I was, you know, as an undergraduate at Colorado State University, that's perfectly understandable to me. And most people don't usually say I'm gazing at quadruped ungulates browsing on forbs, but in school I had to learn what quadrupeds were and what ungulates were and what forbs were and the difference between browsing and grazing and things like that. And here's the key. I wanted to know. They were words and they were things that we were tested on, and I didn't always understand them. And I'll tell you, when I got into a plant pathology course in my senior year in college, there were some terms and some things there that were awful hard to understand and grasp intuitively. And I had to put some effort into learning those things. But I wanted to know. And that's the key. And when people say, oh, I don't read the Bible, I don't read the King James. Usually a translation is they don't read the other Bibles either much, but I don't use the King James Bible because it's too hard to understand. And I would maintain that if you want to learn, if you want to know, if you want to understand, you'll put in the effort. But there are some things in the Bible that are a little difficult from time to time. We're going to look at some things here. But I look at them and I call them spiritual speed bumps. Now think about this. You're driving through a parking lot and you hit a speed bump. What does a speed bump make you do? Speed bump makes you do three things immediately. One, it slows you down. You hit that bump and it slows you down. And then it gets your attention. It gets your attention right away. And it forces you to look around. Those are three things that you do when you hit a speed bump in a parking lot. You slow down. It gets your attention. Perhaps I should put that first. It gets your attention. It slows you down, and it makes you look around, forces you to look around. And when we read something in the Bible and we see something like this, it acts in a sense as a spiritual speed bump. It forces us. It gets our attention. It slows us down. Sometimes we read through the Bible and we're just browsing through and we're zipping through the Bible and we're thinking, what in the, you know, how am I going to get all this done? What in the world am I going to do here if I'm not going to get enough time to read here and I got things to do and I'm going to get my 2-minute prayer in and get my 5 minutes of Bible reading in and I got to get out the door, got things to do. And we race through the Bible and we're not paying a whole lot of attention to what we're looking at. And all of a sudden we encounter something. And it gets our attention. It's a spiritual speed bump. It gets our attention, and it slows us down, and it forces us to look around to try and figure out what in the world this means. Let me give you an example of this in Isaiah, and this is just a word, just one word, Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, there's a word there that I guarantee most people out there probably don't know what it is. And in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 23, the Bible says, I will make it a possession for the bittern, and the bittern's a bird, and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, He's talking about some judgment here. And when he says, I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. You're reading along going, oh, yeah, this chapter here has got a great thing looking at. Here's the fall of Lucifer here in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And we're thinking, yeah, my Bible reading today, I'm going to read through chapter 14. That sounds good. There's the fall of Lucifer. There's his heart lifted up with pride, where he said, in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And we're reading all of this. And then we see the destruction of Lucifer there in verse 16 or 15, where it says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit, and they shall see thee, that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and to shake the kingdoms? And we're going on through all of that. And then we get down in this section down here, and we start to wonder what's going on. And we hit verse 23, I will make it a possession for the bittern. And we're thinking, bittern. Well, okay, my friend's a bird watcher, and I know and talk to them, bitterns are birds, and I've heard that term before, and that's fine. Pools of water, understand that, but what in the world is a besom? Well, you stop, it gets your attention. Besom. Now, a lot of times we just read over things that we don't know, and we just breeze by things. Besom. What in the world's a besom? I've never heard that. B-E-S-O-M, besom. Well, you get to looking at the verse, you look, it gets your attention and just slows you down. It almost brings you to a stop. And you say, what in the world is a besom? And then you look around a little bit. Now that you slowed down rather than zipping through this passage, and you're slowed down and you start paying attention to what's around, and you read, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction. Now, when I was in going through the Revere school systems when I was younger, I can remember, I think it was about sixth grade, I had a teacher that if you asked her what a word was, she would always tell you to either look it up in the dictionary or look at the context. She always tried to stress that if you look at the context, oftentimes you can figure out a word, what a word means. Well, when you hit a spiritual speed bump and it gets your attention, slows you down, you start to look around, you start to pay attention to the setting there, and you look at it, and it says, "I will sweep it with the besom of destruction." Well, what do you do when you sweep? You pick up a broom, don't you? And so it makes sense. It must be some kind of a broom, and there's various types of brooms and things that you sweep with, and if you take the time to look up the word besom, you would find that it actually has to do with a broom that many people used. And I can remember when I was in the Samoan Islands, the Samoan people would make a broom where they would take some sticks, some twigs, and they would kind of bundle them together. Maybe they'd take some palm fronds, and they would kind of bundle them together. Usually it was some sticks, some twigs, some little twigs, and they would tie them together onto a larger stick or just tie them together like a little whisk broom, and they would use that as a broom. And that was a very common style of broom. And in 1611, besom referred to that type of a broom, and you can even find parts in England today where they will refer to broom made of twigs as a besom. And what did you just do when you start looking around? You took the time to invested some time in something that you're interested in, the Word of God. And the Bible says that we should study God's Word, that we should be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what we've done is it's got our attention, we've slowed down, we've looked around, and we started to think about what we're reading, a besom of destruction. And we see that word, and we begin to understand it. And we figure it's some kind of a broom. You can pick up a dictionary. And I found a long time ago that the dictionary that I used at Colorado State, my Webster's New World Collegiate Dictionary, third edition, that's what it was, not third world, my Webster's Collegiate New World Dictionary, third edition, I found almost all of these so-called words that were hard to understand. And for instance, I was reading in the Bible where they took some milch kine. I thought, what in the world is a milch kine? M-I-L-C-H for milch or milk. And kine, K-I-N-E. I looked them up in my dictionary, and guess what? M-I-L-C-H, milch, that meant milk. It's an old version of the word milk. And kine, K-I-N-E, it's cow. It's a milk cow. And you could see in the context, they wanted to send the ark back, and the Philistines had taken the ark, and they wanted to send it back because they were having problems with various pestilence and judgment that came on them for taking the ark of God. And they decided that if they took some milk cows and or milch kine, and they put the ark on a cart, and they let these two milch kine or milk cows go, and they would take the ark over into the area of Israel, they would know that it was a divine happening, because otherwise they would go back to where their calves were tied up. And that's what a milk cow will do. It'll go back to where its calves are. And there's certainly another part where Jacob sent some presents to his brother Esau when he was returning back after being up in Syria for a while. He was worried that Esau was going to attack and destroy him, because that's what Esau said he was going to do when Jacob left. And amongst other things, he sent sheep and goats. And the Bible says he sent milch camels and their camels. Well, that meant milk camels. They were camels that had given birth. They were female camels that had given birth, and you can see that because they had their little camels with them. And so a lot of times the context does give us the instruction there. And then you can take the time to look up some of these words. There's plenty of sources of looking these words up. And we need to understand that if you want to learn something, you're going to put the time into doing it. But yet today, people are... I don't know if you want to call it too lazy, too intellectually lazy. They don't want to spend time looking things up. They want everything handed to them. And they say, well, no, these words are just too difficult. They're too difficult. You know, we need modern versions that have simpler words so that it's easier to understand. I really don't think that's the issue, because even if you have a modern version, people are still going to have reasons for not wanting to read it. And I would maintain that if you had a Bible that said, see God create, see God create the world, see God create Adam, see God create Eve, people would still say, oh, that's too hard to understand, because we've become intellectually lazy. And especially people who've grown up using the internet and looking at things and not thinking deeply and looking deeply into things and used to getting things quickly. I remember going to the library when I was in school all the way through college. I had to go to the library and had to look up in an encyclopedia, had to look up in a dictionary. You had to make a trip to the library to find encyclopedias and things to be able to look stuff up. People used to make money convincing people to buy these huge encyclopedia sets that you could spend hundreds of dollars on just so that your kids could have the opportunity of, in their own home, looking it up in an encyclopedia without having to run to the library for everything. And if you ever had to remember having to go to the library and look through indexes of publications to find citations for things, oh, and now, just a couple clicks on the computer, you find it. But I would maintain people aren't willing to put the effort into things that they used to. Let me give you some words that we would consider archaic words today. How about the word deride and odious? Now, I understand some of these words, and many of you do. Or how about trafficked with a K, or the word unto? People don't usually use those words so much today. Now, here's some other words. Dust, doeth, gavest, thee, thine, bemoan, paramour, beggarly, milch, there's my word, milch, and all that. And people say, see, those are reasons why that the King James needs to be updated. Those words are too hard to understand. But here's the thing. The word milch, although it appears in the King James Version several times, it's in the New Revised Version of 1999. Guess what? There's an archaic word in a modern version. How about bemoan, beggarly, and paramour? The New King James Version that was published in 1982 has those words. The New King James was supposedly an update of the old King James. It really wasn't. It was a rewriting using the Alexandrian texts, which were the corrupted source of texts, as opposed to the Antiochian texts that the King James is based on. Well, okay, here's some words. Dis, doest, doth, gavest, thee, and thine. Those are the words that are so hard to understand. And, of course, if you take the time, thee and thine is very easy to understand. And let me give you a real quick primer here. If it starts with a TH, like thee, thine, and thou for a pronoun, it's singular. If it starts with a Y, like ye, you, and your, it's plural. And so any Bible that takes away the these, the thines, and the ye's, they have taken away the distinction between plural and singular pronouns, and sometimes that does great detriment to the text. Those words are all used in the Authorized Standard or the American Standard Version in 1901. Well, okay, that's a little bit older. Okay, the NIV that people like so much. Well, let me give you a list of words that are in the NIV that people complain are, when you see them in the King James, they're too hard to understand. How about, and not all of these are even in the King James. These are even more difficult than some in the King James. Words like abutted, aghast, armlets, blustering, brooches, or brooches, I should say, B-R-O-O-C-H-E. How about carmelian? Everybody knows what a carmelian is. You ever have a carmelian sandwich? You might have. That's a sardine. How about charioteers as opposed to horsemen and colonnades as opposed to porch? We can get some other ones. Coors. Everybody knows what coors is. King James says measures, and the New International Version in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 22 says coors instead of measures. That really cleared up the word measures, didn't it? Curds instead of butter. We could just go through a lot of things here. How about a drachma? Everybody knows what a drachma is. How about words like, I use words like enthralled and enveloped today, even though they consider those archaic words. But filigree I'm just kind of browsing through a list. I got a list about 5 pages of words that people don't usually use today that if we found them in the King James, people would say, oh, that's just too difficult to understand. And I could go on and on with more of these words, but I would submit the real reason is not that there's words that are hard to understand. The real reason is that people aren't willing to put in the effort to understand the words that are in the Bible today. They see things and they use it as an excuse, just simply an excuse studying their Bible. And a lot of people, they get that, that's just too difficult, and they put it down. Proverbs 14, verse 6 says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. And see, if you've already decided, I'm not going to be able to understand something, it's too difficult, I'm not going to bother, well, you're certainly not going to find wisdom, even though you pretend to be. I had somebody one time tell me that an example of why the Bible was too difficult, King James, was John 3:16. Said, people can't understand that. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They thought that was too hard to understand. And now, what we need to do is we need to define words for people, not replace them, educate people. That's why God called people to be teachers and pastors and things like that. And that's why we have the resources that God's people have put together over the years. Put the time in. Study the Bible. Seek and ye shall find, God says. Trust Christ and allow God to open up the Bible for you. God bless.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.